This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, now alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fahuwa al-muhtad wa man yudlil falan tajid lahu waliyyan murshida. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa man tabi'ahu ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Ayol ikhwati al-kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nas'alullaha ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilmin nafi' wa rizqin wasi' wa alayhi natawakkal wa ilayhi al-masir. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. After praising Allah, sending peace and blessings on His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and saying salams to you all, and the mercy of Allah be with you all, we ask Allah to accept from us our efforts, to forgive us, keep us always guided, and we ask Allah for beneficial knowledge and understanding, and wide sustenance. We are utterly dependent on Allah. To Him is our return, and there is no power or might except that of Allah. Continue with hadith number 26 of Imam An-Nawawi Arba'een, to remind you the hadith is of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, kullu salama min an-nasi alayhi sadaqatun kulla yawmin tatlu'u fihi ash-shams. Now we know kullu salama, every joint from in the body of the human beings, there is on it a charity every day the sun comes up. This we discussed before as well. Yeah. Qal sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as to give examples of those charities, ta'dilu bayna ithnain sadaqa, make peace between two people, make things right, is a charity. Wa tu'inu rajula fi dabbati fa tahmiluhu alayha, to help a person, yeah, onto their animal or mount. Or to lift them up onto it, أو ترفع له عليها متاعه صدقة, or to lift their goods onto the mount for the person, and it is a sadaqah. Then he said, والكلمة الطيبة صدقة, and the good word is a charity. وكل خطوة تمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة, and every footstep that one takes walking to the salah is a charity. وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً, and to remove something harmful from the way or the road is a charity. Last time, we stopped at the point of the idea, which very much I like, of the approach, which is giving what this hadith is really about. Ibn Rajab approaches it from a point of about every joint giving upon it to give sadaqah is an attitude of shukr. You remember I said last time, that's really its essence. Yeah, because the idea of the joints I mentioned before being mentioned represents the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given as a blessing. Yeah, we are not deserving of it. We have no right to it. Yeah, and as mentioned before, we have no right to existence. Yeah. So the reality that we're always, the reality for us as creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have a right for nothing, is to be in a state of gratitude always, yeah? State of gratitude for everything is given us. And I mentioned last time, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, if you were to count the favors and bounties of Allah, you will never be able to count them, yeah? Or the verse I mentioned, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, how is it that you are ungrateful or even denial, yeah, of Allah when you were dead, non-existent, and he gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then he will give you death, and then he will give you life again, and then to him is a return. Yeah. So this bounty and ni'mah and shukr is the real essence of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And your Lord has announced, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ, if you were to be grateful, yeah, if you were all to be grateful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase for you. I will give you more. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This giving more is both in this world potentially, but definitely in the hereafter. Yeah. And it fits also with the hadith of the Prophet saying, yeah, مَا نَقَسَ الْمَالِ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ, that your wealth never goes down because of giving charity. So don't have this, believers are not supposed to have this attitude, oh, if I give, I'm going to, you understand? But it's one of giving, however little, but constant. Yeah. So it fits with that because Allah's saying he'll give you more if you trust and rely on him. And even if you don't get it in a material sense, our attachment, ithar, a preference, is for the hereafter, isn't it? Where money and shilling, pounds and things are not going to count. I went to shillings then, shows how old I am. God help me. Anyway, it's not pounds and things that we're really after. I mean, I heard somebody saying that some of us felt, you know, is my intention all right? Am I giving it so I can make more profit? I'm giving charity so I can make more profit. It shouldn't really be affected because I'm not doing it for material gain. Are we really? Primarily, you're giving because you want the rewards of Allah. It's multiplied so many times over, even if I don't get it back in profits in this world. Yeah. So this لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ has potential for both. This world and the next, but it definitely has it for the next if we are sincere. Isn't that right? لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This is in Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 14, this verse. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And look at the contrast with it. However, in contrast, if you are ungrateful, and also has the meaning of kufr, rejecting, because ingratitude leads to rejecting God and not appreciating what he's given you, isn't it? That's what it really is. That's why it's the greatest of wrongs, isn't it, to reject Allah. Well, in kafartum, then Allah just simply says, yeah, surely my punishment is severe, really severe. Yeah. So, and that mentions the idea of shukr. There are ayat, Quran is replete with ayat mentioning shukr. I mentioned some last time. I've repeated some again today. And of his bounties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Al-Hakumut Takathur, yeah, that lots of material has distracted you. Yeah, Surah Takathur. At the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, gives you a picture of the hereafter. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you will be surely asked on that day, عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Na'im is from ni'mah. Yeah? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Yeah? If you were to count the favors and bounties of Allah. So na'im comes from the same word. You'll be asked of all the na'im that Allah gave you. In other words, what did you do with it? Did you show gratitude? Yeah. ثُمَّ تُسَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. So na'im, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is reported from himself, yeah, the great Sahabi and scholar, a saying which is reported in Al-Bayhaqi, saying about this ayah, he says, al-na'im al-amanu wa-siha. This na'im is security and good health. Security and good health. And good health, right? And actually, it's true, but it's even wider than that. Because na'im covers everything that we have. of the bounties, doesn't it? Fits with the rest of what the Quran says. But notice seha especially, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, it fits with the idea, yeah, the child of Adam has 360 joints, doesn't it? The body, yeah? Doesn't it fit with that? Yeah? Even if we, I mean, none of us have got perfection. So the idea is, if I've got a bad knee, what about the rest of my body? Yeah? If I've got a bad nose, what about the rest of my body? If I've got one arm, what about the other one? Do I deserve even the one? That's the approach of the believer. Yeah? Not sticking their fists up and saying, oh, God, why have you done this to me? Only you've given me a stroke and I can't move my one side now at 60 years of age. Yeah, he or she forgot about the 60 years before that happened. How ungrateful is that? Yeah, isn't that right? That's approach of believers. So you'll be asked about all the bounties and favors Allah has blessed you with. I'll come back to shukr in a minute. And at the end of Surah Hamim Sajda 41, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Yeah, soon we will show them our signs, yeah, فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, in the horizon, meaning all around them, فِي الْآفَاقِ, and in themselves. You know what this, you know, it's scientists actually who say there's a universe out there when you go outwards, yeah, which we try and reach with bigger and bigger telescopes, and it carries on, yes, yeah. And then when you come into the human being, there's a universe inside. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's what we should be saying. Every scientist really should be saying subhanallah, glory be to Allah, yeah, sadly. That's not always the case. But the problem isn't the science. The problem is the person themselves. And there are other reasons, not the science, which is making them not say subhanAllah. There are other reasons. But before we get to this verse, I will show them signs in the environment and the horizon outside themselves and in themselves, yeah, which will make it clear to them that the Quran, annahu al-haq, that it is the truth. Because yeah. The Quran is mentioning this. Yeah. Showing the signs, Quran is mentioning the signs in you and outside of you, yeah, which shows to us this Quran must be from Allah. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. But it's interesting. Well, I was looking at this ayah. If we go a few ayat before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيضٍ. And when we give bounties and favors to the human beings from ourselves, Allah saying, أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ, he grows distance and turns away in arrogance. Other parts of the Quran mention that when they have lots of blessings and they're enjoying it day in, day out, they claim it's from themselves. Yeah. So they become arrogant because there's no pain or difficulty now. Everything's fun, fun, fun. It doesn't last long though, because trial is going to come in this dunya. And actually, it's the bigger, and if you listen to my Jummah khutbah, I said the bigger trial is in riches, not in poorness. What do poor people tend to do? Oh Lord, oh God, what do rich people tend to do? They tend to forget God because shaitan's got a hold of them. Yeah. The problem isn't the wealth. The problem is being duped and deceived by wealth. Yeah, so that we always, that's why, as I mentioned in the khutbah, the Prophet says, I was shown paradise, and most of the people in paradise were who? The poor. Because the less I have, the less I have to answer for. The more I have, the more I have to answer for. Not just that. People said that before as well. It's not just that. The more I have, the more danger I am. In danger I am of being deceived by Shaitan and the dunya and its luxuries and its wealth. And yeah, isn't it true? It's true. Yeah. Some of us say, and it's mentioned in hadith as well, about a person who has envy in a person who have lots of wealth and they spend it day and night in the way of Allah. That you're allowed to have that kind of, I wish I had wealth like he or she, so I would spend it in the way of Allah day and night. Is that guaranteed when I get the wealth that I'll become like that? It's so dangerous, isn't it, to ask for it? Isn't it right? It's true. Yeah. Because I don't know how I'm going to respond. Because the trial will be then when I have it. Will I become niggardly? Will it be me, me, me? I don't know. Yeah. So look what Allah says after that. So they become arrogant. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ, and when any kind of bad touches him or her, فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيدٍ, then he or she makes long du'as. Long du'as. Yeah? So we might be thinking here, well, he's talking, long du'as can imply believers and even disbelievers. Because when hardship gets so bad, then even the ardent atheist says, oh God, save me. Yeah? And of course, there's exceptions to that. There are those who are so hard-backed and arrogant, they won't even say it then. Yeah? The disease is so deep in their hearts. Yeah, they won't even say it then. Yeah. But generally, people in hardship are more likely to make long du'as, as we all do, don't we? We make long du'as, even as believers. Yeah, we make more du'as when we're going through tribulation. Yeah, it's not that, I'm not saying we don't pray, we don't fast, we do, but we make longer and extra du'as and do extra when we're in tribulation. Yes? There's nothing wrong with that. What Allah's talking about is when He gives a lot, turning away in arrogance and not saying, not showing gratitude. That's the problem. Yeah. So that was just to mention those ayat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that how He will show us in ourselves, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, show signs. And that those signs are shown to us to make us realize and fill us with humility and have an attitude of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is this gratitude? Because you know now, of course, in the West, everything's reduced to we are from monkeys and apes, there's no God. But we've done some scientific studies now, modern day studies in psychology, yeah, which shows that if you are grateful, you feel much better about yourself. Isn't that the present day data? Yeah. So you hear it and you see it on programs as well. And they don't say anything else. They said, be grateful. They never say, be grateful to who? Who are you being grateful to? Just be grateful. Hang on. You can't be just grateful. If you say grateful, the question always comes, who are you being grateful to? Isn't that right? Because grateful is not something you just do. Like, you know, this is a house. It's not a statement. It's in a sense, it's a statement, but gratefulness doesn't stand on its own. One is always, you can be grateful to yourself. Yeah, which is so misplaced. How are you being grateful to yourself? So you're going to be grateful to something or someone else. So who are you being grateful to? The reality is, yeah, we don't need modern psychology to tell us to be grateful. It is a sad state of affairs for Muslims to have to quote modern psychology to become grateful to Allah, isn't it? I'm not grateful to Allah so I feel good about myself. Is that the reason I'm doing it? Yeah, so I come out of anxiety and depression? That may happen. But I'm being grateful for Allah because that's the reality of my being. Isn't that right? And I know where I'm going. I know who the master is. I know who to be grateful to. Yeah. So here, gratitude is not just be grateful in nirvana, in space. And you'll see it. I've seen it again and again. They never say be grateful to. Even they don't even say be grateful to your parents. Yeah, be grateful to somebody who helps you. Are we allowed to be grateful in Islam to others? Of course. Gratitude, yeah. Being grateful to them, but never leaving out being grateful to Allah, because He sent them, He created them, He made it possible for them to help us. Yeah. So now, gratitude also, it is in words, but it's not just in words. It is not just the state of the mind. Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, I'm really grateful. I feel really good because I'm grateful. Okay? But neither is it just in words. What do we say to people who just give words? We say empty words. Okay? But you know, Al-Fatiha, for example, which is in every salah, and it is the opening, it's called Al-Fatiha, the opening of the Quran. The word it starts with is Alhamdulillahi Rabbin Alameen. Yeah, mostly translated as praise be to Allah, Lord of the world. But Alhamd is not just praise. Madh in Arabic is praise. Alhamd, hamd is praise and gratitude within it. And many people don't realize that. When we say Alhamdulillah, we're not saying praise be to Allah only. We're saying praise and shukr and gratitude be to Allah inherent in the word. Yeah. So look how we start. The Quran opens with that as a statement of fact, as a statement of our reality. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That it begins with that. Yeah. And every salah has that in it. It is the essence of the salah. So that's words. Yeah. In words. And as we'll see from this hadith and the other one just before it and others around it, yeah, part of sadaqah is words, isn't it? Yeah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. All of them sadaqah. For yourself, yeah, but they have meaning. Yeah, it's not just like saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's not going to give you anything. What does that mean? But many Muslims, especially non-Arabic speaking, don't realize that it's the meaning of it. Alhamdulillah is going to affect me when I say it. So I need to think about what I'm saying because it'll affect my heart and mind and my... Saying it so many times a day is for what purpose? Just for counting on beads? It is not for that purpose. It is so, it is a reminder of who Allah is constantly. When I mention Alhamdulillah, it reminds me that I need to be grateful to Allah and praise Him. By doing that, it reminds me that Allah is watching. Glory be to Allah, yeah? Allahu Akbar, Allah is the biggest. Yeah, la ilaha illa, there is no God but Allah, worthy of worship, all those. It's a constant reminder, isn't it? That's the idea of doing dhikr so many times. Really, it is. Because of what effect it's going to have on me. Yeah. On my soul, on my being. And, I mean, salah is dhikr and dua, is it not? And spaced out five times a day in the day. Yeah, from the beginning to the end, as a constant reminder. Constant reminder, so I don't waver from Surat al-Mustaqim. Yes? So, gratitude cannot be just words either. And as I said to you, that if you bring all the ahadith together, I said it last time and before as well, you'll get the idea that if you have wealth, then your sadaqah is by giving the wealth. Yeah? And you still do zikr of Allah and amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. Yeah? And if you have physical ability, yeah, and not the money, then you do the things the Prophet ﷺ said in the last hadith. The rich people run away with all the rewards. The Prophet ﷺ mentions about dhikr, and he mentions about, standing for right and just and against evil. Yes, doing good things. Another hadith mentioned about smiling, and we're going to look at some of these that are mentioned in this hadith. Removing harmful things from the road, helping somebody. All this is I'm able to do. That's what I'm busy doing. Yeah, and I still am able to do dhikr anyway. Yeah, because I can be lying in bed, paralyzed. Yeah, my tongue's working, I can do dhikr, can't I? But if I'm not able to do that, even physically go out and help, then I still have the ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which becomes a sadaqah. That's how it's all, you bring it all to. All of that, in essence, is gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, gratitude, brothers and sisters, is iman. It really is. Gratitude is a step to iman, and we exemplify the gratitude. Yeah, gratitude is exemplified. Yeah, if I'm niggardly and don't give to others in charity and I've got lots, I may be saying, hey, I'm grateful to you, Ya Allah, but my actions are not showing that, are they? Is that right? That's why hadith, which we haven't done yet, is coming later. In it, the Prophet ﷺ said, says as-sadaqatu wa sadaqatu burhan, and sadaqa is the criterion. Yeah, it is that it is what is the evidence to show that you believe in the hereafter and believe in Allah and that you are grateful to Allah. Sadaqa, giving to others, helping, benefiting, is the criterion of your real belief in Allah and the hereafter and your real gratitude. Yeah. So that's something about shukr, which is really the essence of this hadith, and that's why and Ibn Rajab divides it into shukr, which is fard, wajib, and shukr, which is recommended. Yeah, it's mixed together. So the way of showing gratitude, which is wajib, fard, is 5 daily prayers, fasting in Ramadan. Yeah. Fasting in Ramadan. Being good to parents. These are all wajibat. Neighborly needs, which we talked about before in a hadith that have gone by, in Imam Nawawi's 40 as well. Yeah. The obligation of being good to neighbors. Yeah. And haram being the opposite. Yeah. So then there's extra stuff that you can do. And the idea of every day the sun coming up, meaning, and every joint, meaning being busy, if you being given ability in doing good deeds. And the Prophet ﷺ gave some examples. Yeah. As ulama said, this is not a list which is limited. These are just some highlights. Yeah. And we can think of many others all around us. Yeah. And before I take each one of those in this particular hadith, there's a hadith that Ibn Rajab mentions under this hadith, which I particularly like, which is reported in Ahmad's Musnad. And it is authentic, according to Sheikh Abdullah Al-Judai, my teacher. And so I'm going to give you part of the hadith, and I think it's a beautiful hadith. So starting from the middle of it, which is linked with this particular hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, a sahabi says first, وَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. So I asked him, the Messenger of Allah, I asked the Messenger of Allah about ma'ruf, all that which is good. Remember, one of the hadith was, كُلُّ ma'ruf صَدَقَةً. All ma'ruf, which means all good things you do, is a charity. Yeah. And that hadith mentions smiling in the face of your brother is a charity, and removing something harmful from the road is a charity, and pouring from your bucket of water into the others who's thirsty, yeah, is a charity. Yeah. That hadith mentions that. So here again, similar, he's saying, I asked the Prophet about ma'ruf, what is good. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. don't ever look down on any kind of good, however little it is. Don't think, oh, that's nothing. لا تحقرن. Even if it's only little. Yeah, this is the idea of small deeds. So تحقرن means don't ever look down, think, oh, this is nothing. Yeah. And then he explains it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he says, وَلَوْ أَن تُعْتِيَ خِلَةَ الْحَبْلِ. If you were just to give a little rope to someone, a little rope, then he says, yeah, وَلَوْ أَن تُعْتِيَ شِسْءَ النَّعَلِ. And you were to give a strap of a sandal, and in today's world, you could say a shoelace. Were you to give, even if you were to give only a shoelace or a strap of a sandal or a rope, little rope that he mentions. وَلَوْ أَن تُفْرِغَ مِنْ دَلْوِكِ فِي إِنَاءَ الْمُسْتَسْقِي. This is similar to the other. And were, even if you were to, yeah, empty the remainder of the water in your bucket in the person who's thirsty into their bucket. Yeah. وَلَوْ أَن تُنَحِيَ الشَّيْءِ مِنْ طَرِيكِ النَّاسِ يُؤْذِيهِمْ. Yeah. Were you to even remove something harmful, remove it away from the path of people, which was going to be harmful for them. Yeah. All of these, he's saying, don't look down on these things. Yeah. Even if it was to do that. Or even, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاقَ وَوَجْهُكَ إِلَيْهِ مُنْطَلَقٍ. Were you to meet your brother, meaning another human being, and your face is smiling? Yeah. وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ فَتُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. Were you to meet your brother and you say salamu alaykum to him or her? Yeah. وَلَوْ أَن تُؤْنِسَ الْوَحْشَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Were you to give company for the lonely person? Yeah, for the lonely person in the world. And how many lonely people are around, especially in this kind of society we live in, which has become a very selfish society. Yeah. Were you to give company just for an hour, just for half an hour, to somebody who's lonely? Look what Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. Isn't it fit? It's beautiful, this hadith. I mean, don't look down on any of these things as though they were nothing, because they're all part of sadaqah. And then look how Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, وَإِن سَبَّكَ رَجُلٌ بِشَيْءٍ يَعْلَمُهُ فِيكَ. And if some person insults you because of some negative in you, yeah, that he knows about, وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ نَهْوَ. And you know something similar, negative, in the other person as well, yeah, فَلَا تَسُبُّهُ. Don't insult him back or her back. فَيَكُونُ أَجْرُهُ لَكَ وَوِزْرُهُ عَلَيْكَ. Then it will be a reward for you, their insults to you, yeah, and the sin will be on them if you don't respond back with the like. Yeah. وَمَا سَرَّ أُذُنَكَ أَن تَسْمَعَهُ فَعْمَلْ بِهِ. And whatever your ear likes to hear, meaning of good works, yeah, yeah, do according to it. Be busy with it. وَمَا سَاءَكْ أُذُنَكَ أَنْ تَسْمَعَهُ فَاجْتَنِبْهُ. And whatever your ears dislike to hear about, meaning it's evil or bad things, yeah, then stay away from it. That's the hadith of the Prophet. Yeah. So I don't know what you think, but I found it really beautiful how Prophet mentioning things and saying, don't look upon any down as though with disdain any kind of good. And he's mentioning little things which are so beautiful, really. Yeah. And however little we think that we're helping somebody with, how it's multiplied and counted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we come specifically now, and if we look at this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says about sadaqah, he says, تَعْدِلُ بَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةً. To make good between two people is a charity. Yeah? And if you look at the society, the kind of society we live in, we got a lot of stirrers, gossipers, and not people who put flames out, but actually ignite them more. Isn't that right? That's my experience. It's a sad experience. And we have very few who actually do the opposite and say, look, he didn't mean that. She didn't mean that. Just leave it. Forget about it. Overlook. Forgive. Isn't that right? Yeah. Sorting things out between people to make peace between people. So important. Yeah. And the best example of that, of making good between two people, husband and wife. Husband and wife. Why do I say that? That is true as well. Foundation. But I'll tell you why. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, which I'm sure you'll remember when I mention it. Prophet ﷺ said in hadith in Sahih Muslim, reported by Jabir, he says, "Inna iblisa yada'u arshahu ala al-ma," that surely Iblis, Shaitan, he puts his throne on the water. "Thumma yab'athu sarayahu fa'adnahum minhu manzilatan a'azamuhum fitnatan." Yep. Then he sends forth his battalions, shaitans, right? From jinn and ins, you can think, right? From jinn and humans. فَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْهُ. And those who are nearest to him in ranks are the most notorious in creating dissension, fitna between people. They are the nearest to him in rank, meaning he brings them close to him. The most evil of them are the best for him. Okay, shaitan. يَجِيءُ أَحَدُهُمْ فَيَقُولُ. One of them comes back and he says, فَأَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And he says to Iblis, I did such and such and such and such. فَيَقُولُ. Yeah. And he says, مَا صَنَعْتَ شَيْئًا. Iblis says, you didn't do anything. In other words, it's not evil enough what you've just come back and come back with. Yeah. قَالَ ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ أَحَدُهُمْ. Yeah. Then one of them comes back, فَيَقُولُ. And he says, he or she says, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّكْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ إِمْرَأَتِي. I didn't leave such and such a person except that I caused the split between him and his wife. I caused dissension between them, the husband and wife. Now Iblis says, yeah, the Prophet first says, فَيُدْنِيهِ مِنْهُ. So he brings him really near to him, this person who's caused such havoc. وَيَقُولْ نِعْمَ أَنْتَ. And Iblis says to this person, you are the best. You are the best. Yeah. You are the best, the one who's caused the dissension between husband and wife. Okay? So that's why I say making peace between husband and wife. If the worst thing is making fitna between husband and wife, then it must be the best thing to try and make peace between them. Let's not get the wrong impression of that, though. It needs to be in its place. Does that mean that we should avoid this, then divorce would be seen as something shaitan's achieved, but it's not always the case. Yeah, not always the case. Does Islam allow divorce? Yes, it does, but for a reason, not for no reason, not for no reason. Yeah, so a husband's a drunkard, Muslim talking about, beats his wife every day, yeah? And we're called in to make peace between them. You don't turn up and say to the wife, it's all right, let him have his beer drunk. He only beats you three times a week. Yeah? It'll be fine. Carry on. Is that what we're saying? Absolutely not. Yeah. So don't take it to the other extreme. Anything goes. Yeah. As long as they live together, that's not making peace between two people. Remember, Prophet said, "Ta'adilu bainathnain," from Adil. Justly making peace. Not any kind of dhulm and injustice is going on. You say, it's all right. Carry on. Of course not. Everybody with me? Yeah. So ta'adilu comes from Adil. Justice. Dhulm cannot continue, as we'll see in another hadith that mentions it anyway. So making peace, and you know what? Here we have to be very careful. Because making peace between two people is fraught with dangers. Firstly, is Joe Muslim who's been called to make peace between two people, whoever they are, two females, male and female, brothers, people in the community, husband and wife, is Joe Muslim who's been asked to help in that, got any experience or wisdom to be able to cause peace between two people? That's the first thing one has to look at. The ones who are choosing, who am I going to ask? Okay? And the one who is being asked, yeah? If I have no idea, no wisdom, no experience of how I can solve matters, then I don't put myself forward and say, all right, I'll sort it out between you. And by the time you've left, they were cross with each other. Now they're trying to kill each other. Is that possible, brothers and sisters? It is, because not everybody is capable and got the ability to sort out matters between people. Yeah? And we know that in families, in wider families, they know that person is quite wise, yeah, that brother. Those two brothers, I'd never call to ask them to make peace between anybody, because I know what's going to happen. There'll be World War III. You see what I'm saying? So here, it's not willy-nilly anybody comes along. Yeah. So person asking for help needs to be careful who they choose. Yeah. And when you're talking about two people, both must agree on the person they're going to call. Right? If we take a simple idea of the husband and wife, the husband chooses his mate to come and make peace between them because he's got the same views as he's got, right? The wife has never agreed, but he said, well, I'm going to call him in and we'll take our case to him. You know, but she has to agree as well with such and such a person. Isn't that right? If you're going to get justice, but otherwise, one side will say, not just husband and wife, any of two people, one will say, well, I'm not going to do what he's saying. I never agreed with him. I never agreed for him to be an arbitrator, right? So the first step is the arbitrator must be agreed upon by both parties or more than two parties. Is that right? Then the second step is the arbitrators, when it's agreed upon and he or she listens to both sides of the equation, you make an agreement that whatever he's going to recommend, we will seriously take it on board. Okay? Not when it comes up now because it's negative for me that I say, oh, forget it, I'm not having any of this. Because that's not going to resolve anything. So these are some of the parameters. I'm not here to give a complete course on it. These are some of the parameters that need to be looked at. It's a bit like, and we'll come to it, asking for nasiha from somebody. So asking advice about a particular matter. If somebody comes and asks me about an architectural matter, right, I'd be stupid giving my advice, wouldn't I? Because I ain't got a clue about architecture. I'd be sending them to Zareen. You understand what I'm saying? So when it says you have a responsibility to give nasiha advice, according to your ability, yeah? So this is also the case here, yeah? And it's fraught with dangers because it's not the same as two people going for arbitration to a judge who is got authority in the land and in the law. Yeah? It's just Joe me in the community, eh? Do I want to take on this or do I don't? I'll tell you my experience. I've taken it on many times and I shy away from it now most of the time because by the time you've finished, you have no authority to make the two parties do anything. It's advice. By the time you finish, both parties hate you. Oh my goodness. We got a serious problem. I want to be helpful. First, it takes a lot of time. Okay. Secondly, yeah, often the two parties, they still hate each other, but they hate you as well now. So it's fraught with dangers. Okay. So be careful. I'm not saying we don't make peace between people, but we do, but it requires wisdom, very careful treading, yeah, and principles to be laid out beforehand, yeah, and that people jumping in and saying, well, I'll sort it out, and actually they end up, and I've seen it so many times in the community, people jump in and say they sort it out, and they actually make it worse, yeah, because they never got the full picture. People get one side of the story and jump in as well. That's another thing fraught with it. That's not justice. Yeah. And I could mention a lot more things on this topic of just getting involved with making things right between people because there's so many things, so many tripping points, so dangerous. Now, so Ta'di Lubayna's name, Sadaqah. To be able to achieve that, And it's not to put you off because it can be achieved, and I've seen it achieved as well. Yeah. It's a charity. Yeah. Those people will make dua for you for the rest of their lives if you're able to achieve that. Yeah. So, and that's why the sadaqah. The sadaqah, because you gave up your time, yeah, on your experience and of your good advice, which actually helped them. And the result is. Yeah, they resolved and moved on from the issues. Yeah, so you can see what kind of sadaqah it is. It's great to be able to do that. Yeah, to have the ability to be able to do that. All the negatives I mentioned is not entirely to put us off, it's to make us think that wisdom is required and experience is required. Yeah, wisdom and experience is required. Two people who are in the 40s and 50s, particular issues they've got, you don't ask a 15-year-old because he's hafiz. Listen to me very carefully. Because he's hafiz of the Quran to come and sort it out. Yeah. MashaAllah, he's hafiz. That's nothing to do with sorting things out between two people, yeah, who are in middle age. What's he going to do? And how are they going to receive such a person? Yeah. And that takes me... the wisdom of trying to sort things out between people and actually problem a community is facing. Yeah. Wisdom required with understanding and knowledge. Yeah. Where you are, what your background is, what the education level of the person, doesn't that come into it? All right. Let me give you a simple example. We live in Britain. We've been brought up here since babies, yeah? And we have some issues. And you bring in somebody who's a recent immigrant because he's a Maulvi from India, Pakistan, Syria, I mentioned all the countries, right? And ask them to come and sort it out. Very knowledgeable in the Quran, very knowledgeable in the Hadith. It's not just about that, though. Has no idea how this society works that they've just arrived. Has no idea what makes us tick. Because they've been brought up somewhere else. You understand? This will that have an impact? Of course it will. And to think, no, he's just going to throw Quran and Hadith at us and everything will be sorted. No, it's not... One of the biggest parts of ijtihad of scholars is appropriate application of the Quran and Hadith that you learn off by heart. Not just knowing it. Yeah? appropriate or misappropriate application of Quranic verse in the hadith. So important. Yeah. So, sorting things out. I'll give you an example, simple one, real one. In one of the towns, I will not name the town because it might, yeah, we could take a few towns in. The youth, and I think they've still got the problem, as many other towns have, the Muslim youth in this big community living around the two or three mosques, dense community, Muslim community, big drug crime problem. More and more going on drugs, and there's those who are dealing as well from the Muslim community, yeah, raking in thousands while they come to Jummah prayer as well. So they've got this drug delinquent drug problem. So the mosque decides to have a committee meeting with the Imam and Molvi and Hafiz or whoever else they had. How shall we remedy it, this problem? So after a long meeting, the conclusion, this is the conclusion how to remedy it. We need to start more Hifz classes of Quran. That was the answer. So how's that going to help? The guys doing drugs, they're not going to come to Hifz classes. Just because you're holding Hifz classes and now you're holding three classes, right? That is just unfathomable that's the conclusion of after a long meeting of how to deal with the problem of delinquency in drugs. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is about relevance, understanding society, understanding the youth, what they're facing, yeah, what the parents' role in it is, what the societal role in it is, and what the mosque's role in it is, or lack of it. Yeah, because majority of them went to the madrasa in the mosque. Did anybody think about where did we fail them as the mosque? Even though they spent years coming after school, chucked into the mosque to read their sabak spara. Yeah, but they went and they're the druggies and they're the drug dealers. So what about some self-criticism and analysis that actually didn't work? What we taught and how we taught. You see what I'm talking about? I'm just giving you, this is a real example, by the way. It's not made up, it's actually happened. Yeah. And of course the problem wasn't resolved. Surprise, surprise. Okay. Okay, I'm going to stop there to give some time for questions. I've gone on for about 55 minutes. Because we'll mention the other stuff, inshallah, I'm hoping that we'll complete the hadith next time. Any questions? The other stuff I haven't mentioned yet about helping people on the mount. And of course, mount means the horse and the camel, but don't say it's not applicable today. Just because we've got cars and buses, still applicable. So, and we'll look at that next time, inshallah, anyway. And some of the other stuff, inshallah. Any questions online or from here, from what was covered today, inshallah? Nothing online? That's fine. Must be very clear.
Just clear.
Okay. So we'll stop there then, inshallah, if there's no questions. And bi'idhnillah, we're not having a break. Normally, I used to do 3 weeks, 1 week off. We're not having a break. We'll carry on.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. Somebody asking. Yes?
I just wanted to ask you that I heard that as a Muslim, you're not supposed to tell lies, but sometimes solve that problem between a husband and a wife, you are supposed to tell little white lies so that they, you know, said a good thing about to the other and say that this is what she said. Is that true?
Yes, that's one of the exceptions. Yeah, exceptions. We're not talking about big lies, like, yeah. You know, he's cleared your bank balance out, or he's put £10,000 in your account. Of course, it's not true. No, the idea is something small to appease the hearts of people. Like, you know, they said salam, or they were asking about you, this kind of thing. Yeah, that's what it means.
Okay, so that's
That's the exception. The idea isn't to go into the rule of lies is haram, clearly, but there's exceptions, and these are small exceptions because it may help in the relationship of people. Good question. Anything else?
I don't think in that example you gave about the drug people that the master failed the people. Their experiences outside of it and me.
Yeah, it is experience outside, but the masjid has to look at the fact that they spent a few years reading Quran in their classes. The masjid, what effect did that have? And if it has little impact, then we need to reanalyze ourselves. Because where I'm getting at is when you've got opportunity, it's not teaching the Quran in Arabic, which is just a rhythmical tone, and they go away after all those years of studying it. They complete the Quran, they don't understand the word of it. So in the end, it's about teaching them something about Islam. Why are they reciting the Quran? What is even just Surah Al-Fatiha about, to give them something? Why is it after all those years, majority of them go out of the mosque and they don't understand and know hardly anything about Islam, and don't even the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha.
Okay, that's different.
So that is going to have a massive impact on their life. And not telling them that is also going to have a massive impact on their life, because actually they took nothing away, really. So they finish, and that's why many, many finish with the mosque and never come back again. Because, and listen, I've been involved in Islamic Dawah since the 80s. I know I've met so many youth around the country, not just in my locality, thousands, and majority have a bad experience, from that teaching, not a positive experience, and nothing they really took from it. And they spent time afterwards, when they got their 20s and 30s, to rediscover Islam. That's a sad reflection, and we need to take some responsibility for that. That's my point. Of course, society around and what's going on, temptations are always there. We're not saying the rest of society is scot-free and the person hasn't got some blame on them. Of course they have. But where we have got opportunity, we have to make use of it. You've got a captive audience. Those young people have been sent by their parents and they're sitting with you and you're being paid as well. Yeah. And you could have used that opportunity. I could go more on that. You know, the reality is, it's better now, and it was better in some mosques, but it was very negative in majority of the mosques, if you go back 20 years, about the anger of the Maulana and the stick of the Maulana. It's very well known. I'm not going to mince my words. And that's not every mosque, and very unlikely now, because you know what stopped it? Local law, not because of Muslims. They're frightened of the law, non-Muslim law. Sadly, it wasn't the Muslim. So they got that kind of treatment, very bullish, very harsh, in the madrasa, teaching Quran, Islam, which represents the word of God, who is most merciful and most compassionate. And they went into the school where the non-Muslim teachers were loving and kind. Come on, love. Come on, dear. Let's do this. Did they get that in the mosque? No, they didn't. Which way are you going to go as a child? I know which way I'll go. So there are so many other things, but anyway, I'll stop there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, help us, forgive us, and make us of those who act upon the knowledge and give us deeper understanding of his beautiful deen that he blessed us with. Allahumma ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.